Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Choftes, and we got up to Omar Rava, Mani Mishtaya B'Metalalta. So, we were talking about various things that should be done in the Sukkah, and the details of the way in which a person learns, where he's concentrating on analysis, where he's just running through the Gemara, and so on, and we got up to Omar Rava. There's different types of things that you want to have in the sukkah. Because remember, we started off with the idea that the teshvu, ke'entaduru, means that you should be yotzei from your dira, and your finest things actually should be in the sukkah dafka. And the other things should not be in the sukkah. So therefore, Rava is saying, if you have glasses and you've been drinking out of these glasses, can you leave the glasses even though you've already used them, or must they be removed immediately from the sukkah? So Rava said, Mani mishtaya b'metalalta. This Harashi understands it. After you've drunk it from a glass, the glass does not become ma'us. And therefore, it's usually acceptable that you would leave a glass on the table to refill for later. You wouldn't take it off the table right away. Masha'in king, dirty dishes are removed from the table. So mani michla bar mimetalalta. And things that you've eaten from should be taken off. This is how Rashi understands it. Tosis understands that we're talking about mane michla is a reference to pots that you would prepare the food in, and which is also true. It's anybody who's arguing. In other words, things that you would normally keep in your kitchen and not bring out to the dining room, you should not bring out to your sukkah either. Okay, what about a chatzpah v'shachil? So you've got a jug for water or a wooden pail, Rashi says, is a shachil, which means something that you lower down into a well, your mashchil. So that's bar mimetalalta. Those things should be kept outside of the sukkah. A shiraga lamp should be kept in the sukkah, maybe kept in the sukkah. But some say, no, it has to be kept outside of the sukkah. Now here, there's no difference really between the two shitas because habasukah gedela, habasukah katana. So, but pashtas, if it's referring to a lamp, and the question is whether it's dangerous, and therefore in a small sukkah should be kept out, that makes a lot of sense, and it's nothing to do with the teshuva getting to duru as much as it does for etzim sakana. Others learn that it has to do with the ma'us, and the shraga is an earthenware lamp, which normally is like really not pleasant to have nearby. So if it's a big sukkah, you put it out of the way, so then it's not that noticeable. Okay, nyordu gishamim. Next thing, in the Mishnah it says that if it rains, then from the point that the rain will ruin a kugel, doesn't exactly define what a mikveh is. Mikveh is just a generally sort of hardened type food, but it's not really hard. So what is it referring to over here? It's referring to, says the Braita, mishetisracha mikveh shel grisim. So when you have a hot cereal or a porridge that's made out of beans, that's what it is that is very easy to ruin. That's the level that it's referring to. And Abaya was once sitting by Rabbi Yosef's sukkah, and the wind was blowing, and like little pieces of pine needles were coming down and falling into the sukkah. So Marshal Zika Komaiti Tzibuta. Amalu Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef, get my stuff out of here. I can't stay here. Panali mani me'alcha, this is driving me crazy. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya said to him, I don't understand, but the Mishnah doesn't say a little bit of pine needles could drive you crazy. It says only if it's raining to the point that it'll actually ruin your food. Misha tisracha mikpa. Amalei, Rav Yosef said to Abaya, that's just for normal people, okay? I have very high standards of comfort. And Lididi, Kimedanina Dati, because I am so very delicate. So to me, that's the equivalent of Kamisha Tizracha Mikpa Damili. It's the same to me as actually a heavy duty rain. This, of course, we had in other places that Rabbi Yosef viewed himself as having a very tough life because he had all three difficult midas of being very, very delicate, being very sensitive to feelings and so on. And he's, oh my gosh, I really have it tough. Okay, so we're welcoming over here Bosnia this morning, I believe, or Serbia. I shouldn't say Bosnia. They're no longer friends. Okay, very good. And I see we were zochet to having Alon, even though he's about to take off. All right. Also wonderful. Good. Keep up the good work, guys. Okay. Now, let's take the next case. What happens if you have to leave the sukkah because of these inconvenient mitztayer or unpleasant things for you? Do you have to go back in if, let's say, it stops raining? So turn around on it. Guy is eating in the sukkah. And it's raining, and he goes, he leaves the sukkah, brings all his stuff in. Obviously, the moment he gets back in, the rain stops, which, you know, that's the little games we play all the time, right? So you get into the house, now you start eating, and the rain stops. The kid's saying, Abba, we got to go back to the sukkah. Right, what do you do? The halacha is, Ein matrichinato la'alot tachi gemar se'udato. Because it's also part of the teshuva kein taduru. We don't start moving around in the middle of the meal, but from one place to another place, and because of that, if you already moved out, you're allowed to continue until you finish the meal, and then you move back in. Suppose you were sleeping in the sukkah and it started to rain. So you went and you went down. The reason we use the word v'yarad, because the sukkahs, as Rashi says, were usually on top of the roof. Of course, mitzad ha-kabbalah, an aliyah to the sukkah is an aliyah, because your sukkah is gavoya in terms of your ruchnius, like the Beis Hamikdash is gavoya. That's yorad odi legano. Remember, we learn out the dinim actually from the heichal, right? So every going into a sukkah is an aliyah, and every yerida min a sukkah is a yerida. Anyway, so you left the sukkah to go to sleep in your house. Ein matrichino to la'alot ad she'yeor. Does not have to come back up to the sukkah until ye'or. Now, ye'or, it's not clear what ye'or. Is that ye'or with an aleph, or is that ye'or with an ayin, which would mean, if it would be a ibaylu, ad she'yeor, which is until you wake up, or is it ad she'yeor, where the light comes, meaning that it's daybreak? Tashma, it says ad she'yeor v'ya'aleh amud ha'shachar. Now, how do you explain that? I mean, how can it be both ye'or? Because ye'or is just the full, you know, pnei hamizrach, and the amud hashachar is doesn't make sense, because that becomes that's dawn. So make up your mind. How could it be both things? The ach ye'or and she'al amud hashachar have to be two different issues. So tarte, how could they be two different times? So it must mean that it's till you wake up, and we had it wrong. It was with an ayin, not with an aleph. And also, which means that you need both things. In other words, if you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't have to go up to your sukkah. And if it's bright already, and it's light outside, you don't wake up someone to take them up to the sukkah. So he has to wake up naturally, and it also has to be daylight. I remember once in Cleveland, where there was a heavy snowfall in the sukkah in the middle of the night, and in the morning, they woke up my shver, who was covered with like 3 inches of snow, and he wasn't going to leave that sukkah for nothing. My wife shouts, "What's going on, Papa? You're sitting over here in the snow." He says, "Nu vasi." Anyway, mashallah mahadavar domeh. So then we have this mashal. And Mishnah says that this is similar to a case where an eved comes, and he comes to pour the kos l'rabo, and then it has a pronoun, v'shafach, and he pours it out on his face. So who poured it out on what? What is the mashal over here? Because there's two ways of understanding it. And one way of understanding it is that the Eved does such a lousy job that he's coming to pour. These are like the New York waiters. You know, you're coming to serve, and you serve it all over the guy's suit. So that there's the soup, you know. So that would be what it's like, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being meramis to us. You know, thank you very much for your tremendous Aveda Shamayim of coming into the sukkah, you know, all for my covet, you jerk. So in other words, it's like it's a simen that the Eved had poured the Aveda over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it referring to the pouring is referring to the rain? And the Eved over here was thrown in his face what it is, the Aveda that he did. In either case, obviously, it's a reference to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with the way that we're being Mekayim the mitzvah. But the question is it referring to his response to his displeasure? Or is it defining what it is that he's displeased about? Namely, that he got the soup over his suit, kivayachal. Tashma, the Braita makes it very clear. Shofach lo rabo kiton apanav. It's as if the Odain poured through the wine into his face. V'amar lo I efshi b'shimushcha. I'm not interested in you serving me. Anyway, so once already we started talking about a siman, because no matter what we're learning, we're talking about the rain as a siman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's displeasure. So there are other things which, even though they are completely teva issues, rain is just b'derech ha-teva, nonetheless, we view them as being simonim. So Tana Rabbana, Bizman Shachamaloka. So we have a partial or a complete likui hashemesh, so this is a solar eclipse, that's a simin ra l'kol olam kulo. That's bad news, despite the fact that it's obviously completely predictable, but it's no different than, remember, a very interesting thing. Zmanim are defined by the sun and the moon, right? That is how we call time. V'yula otot. So then that means that even though they're completely predictable, we know exactly when sunrise is, we know when sunset is, but these become the mikoras of the hanhoga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Yoylam, and even, you know, with the Gemaras about the various hours of the day and the motions of the planets that were miramis to the various hours, which became the names of the day in other languages, that the fact that it's completely predictable does not mean that it doesn't show a derech hanhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the same sense that on a human level we feel that there's less light that's coming from the sun, so then it means it's a zman of din, and therefore it's a bad sign. Mashal ma davar domeh, the melech basir v'dam, she'asa su'uda la'avadab. It's like a king, he makes this beautiful su'uda, gets everybody in to the gigantic suda, and then he turns off the lights because he's angry at the way they're acting. So kaas alayem v'yomel avdo topanas bipneyem v'oshivim b'choshech. Take the lamps and let them sit in the dark. So too, this is like it's a powerful simon, and in fact, it has a very deep impact on people's psychology. Tanya Rebbe Meir Amer kol zman shame'orot lokin. Siman Ralison Eyem Shal Yisrael. So when the Maoros is a reference in the context of Chama to this moon and the stars, as opposed to the sun. But here, we'll see that we have to contrast. I mean, here he's saying in general that whenever you have something that affects the heavenly bodies, it's a Siman Ra not to Kol HaOlam, but it's a Siman Ra specifically more so than to the Goyim, more so to Yisrael, which using over your euphemism, obviously, Soneim She Yisrael. Why is that? Because whenever things are bad, it's always the Jews who are going to suffer. So, Marshal Amad Avradayma, the Sofer Shebala Beit HaSefer Etzurah B'yado. All of a sudden, the principal walks into the room, and these were in the old days when they actually used to discipline students in school. It's hard to believe there was a time like that. But anyway, so the principal walks in, and he's carrying a strap. You know, so which kid is worried? What do you think, huh? Mi doeg. Mi shiragi lilkot b'cho yom v'yom doeg. It's the whipping boy. He's the guy who's used to getting it. He knows it's coming for me. The same thing is true over here for Yisrael. When things go wrong, it's for Klal Yisrael to worry about more than anybody else. Tana Rabbana. Bizman shachamaloka, if it's specifically the sun that is being affected here, so then it's a simin ralo of the kochavim because they count by the sun. And they worship the sun. Levana loka simin ralas onayim shal Yisrael, because the calendar for our holidays, our calendar to the moon. So Mamela, we understand that anything that has to do with affecting the moon is a simon for Yisroel. But the Ovdei Kochavim, they count their calendar to the Chama. So therefore, we assume that it's aimed at them. Loka b'mizrach, if the sun is in the east when the eclipse occurs, so then simon ra liyoshvei mizrach, for people that live in the east, it's the bad simon. If it's b'marav, so then it's people that are living in the marav. If it's b'emtzarekia, then it's simon ra to anybody who is exposed to the direct eclipse on top of him. If the sun looks more like red blood, then it's a simon that death by sword comes to the world. If it appears sort of darkened, so it looks like sackcloth, then it's a sign like people's face turns dark in hunger. It's a sign that chitzei ra'av are b'ayin le'olam, so arrows of hunger. If it is both, it's reddish and dark, cherev chitzei ra'av b'ayin le'olam. Loka b'knisato, if it gets the eclipse as it's about to set, that's a sign that puranucho alavo, that it's going to be a while, just as the sunset is the end of the day, it's going to be a while till these bad simon actually comes true. If it's just as it's rising, then it's a simon that it's memaheret lavo. And some say just the opposite. Yeshomim chilufa dvarim. No, if it's as it's setting, then that means it's only a few minutes left for the day. So that's a sign that the simon is about to happen. If it's as it's rising, so then you have a whole day to worry about it, so to speak. Ve'en lecha kol uma v'uma sheloka she'en Eloheha loka ima. Any nation that is punished in the world, their gods are punished as well. This is, of course, the reference here, those that worship the sun and so on. But it's also a reference to the Tsar. Every nation has a Tsar. That's Eloheha. Shemar b'chol Elohei Mitzrayim, Eseh Shvatim. But all of this is only when Jews are acting like goy. B'zman sheYisrael oisim ritzonei shel malkeihem. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to Klal Yisrael, all of this is childish. Ein mityarin mikoleila. You don't have to look at these silly signs in the sky. Shenemar, ko amar Hashem, el derech hagoyim al tilmadu, umeotot hashamayim al techatu, ki echatu hagoyim yema. Don't learn at all from the way that goyim act, and then you have nothing to be worried about. These signs, these are for goyim to be afraid of. So these are for primitives to worry about. Not for people who are chachamim mechukamim, ovdei kochavim yechatu, but ein Yisrael yechatu. Tana Rabbana. So Rashi says he does not know the mocker for all of these things. The Gemara does not bring a raya from Psukim. Seems to be some kind of Kabbalah. I mean, there are those who are tereach to try to figure out why each one of these is keneged for some reason, but Rashi says he doesn't know why, then I guess we can go through the Gemara without necessarily looking for reasons. So Tana Rabbana, there's four reasons that there are, again, this doesn't mean that these are causes, obviously, is we don't have eclipses because of reasons. It means that the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Din, that is misoirer because of this part of celestial mechanics, is because of the inyonim that are represented either by an Av Bezdin who dies and they didn't give properly, they didn't give Hespedim, and the Nara Murasa Shetzaka B'Yirvein Moshiala, very common. People are screaming, save me, save me. This girl's being raped. Nobody comes to save her, obviously. Al Mishkav Zechur, now we've got gay parades. V'al Shnei Achim Shnishbach Damam Ke'echad, two brothers who were killed at the same time. That's like beyond just murder. Here you could see the contrast of me'orot to the chama. That's a reference here, therefore, to the me'orot is a reference to the moon and to the stars. Al kotvei plaster, people who work for the New York Times, and everything that they write is garbage. Because it destroys Eretz Yisrael, because they cannot watch their sheep from getting into other people's fields. People that cut down beautiful trees, fruit trees. And there's also four things, four things cause people who are rich to have their property taken over by the tax authorities. It's because they keep contracts that have already been paid up, and those contracts might be used to re-demand payment on an already paid loan, and once the loan is paid, you have to get rid of the contract, give it back to the guy. If they lend Jews with ribis, and then there's a Gemara learns out, then it ends up, the money ends up with the government. These people who are rich, influential in their communities, and they had an opportunity to try to help the social situation and to protest people who were doing averas, and they didn't. And these kind of people often will make public commitments at a banquet, and they never pay up. That's why they end up having the money taken over. Omar Rav, there's also there's also four things that cause people to go bankrupt, even though they're very rich people. People who, they tell the people who work for them, I don't have money now, come back later. They drive the guy crazy instead of paying up their debts. It's awful to watch people doing that. You know, we'll pay you 30 days, and then it's, we got 12 months. And Mamish, so many businesses are like killed by that kind of behavior. People who literally steal the money, they never pay it up. Who is going in over here? What's a Trump minute? What kind of Lashon Hara is this here? Unbelievable.
Watch the programs of him making a deal, not paying, shaking down the debt. That's before he got elected.
I can bring you 300 things of people who were made about the incredible chassadim that were done to them for absolutely no reason. So what do you have to go around saying things about political nonsense? Omar Rav, here we're talking about Kosvi Plaster, and you're quoting me the New York Times. I'm not interested.
His taxes are today's news.
I can't believe this. A Talmud of mine should be Yerit. I'm serious. I'm shocked. Omar Rav. Bishvil arba'a dvarim nechsei ba'alei batim yatsim letimyon. There's four reasons why people will stam go bankrupt. So we had. Al kovshei schar socher, al oshkei schar socher, al zheporkin ol mi'altzav areyem v'not nimachav areyem. They refuse to take responsibility for things that need taken care of. Pass it on to friends, let them handle it. And then arrogance, because people that have money become very arrogant, and that arrogance itself causes them to lose their money. The gasut haruach keneged kulam. That's the worst thing. But ba'anavim k'tiv, ba'anavim yirshu aretz. So the poor shall inherit the earth. Doesn't mean the poor, it means anavim, those who have anivas. They will inherit the earth. V'itangu al rov shalom. And this brings us to a very important moment of Hadron Alach Hayashen. This is an opportunity for people who have been sleeping for the Daf Yomi to do Chazorah. Hadron Alach Hayashen. I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe this one shouldn't be. This one shouldn't be Belin Eder then. Go ahead, Rich. Belin Eder. Okay, I interrupted you, so give it to us again. And so now we begin the dinim of the actual Arba, meaning we've been talking until now about the sukkah, the mitzvahs of the hanhag of the sukkah, and the various psulim of the schach, and the dinim of mechitzas, and so on and so forth, very, very rich. And now we're about to begin the Arba minim. So the Mishnayas of the Arba Minim, we have separate Mishnayas for the different Minim. And we start off with the Lulav particularly, because that's the most noticeable and it's the highest of them and so on. So because of that, we start off with the Lulav. But as Rashi points out, every one of these issues is going to be actually expressed for each one of the Minim, and we'll be able to look at them. Now, the thing is that there are various different levels of the issues of each one of the minim, and we learn them out from each other. Now, the most fundamental pasuk that we have, of course, is v'lakachtem lechem biyom harishon. So the lakachtem lechem biyom harishon, first of all, implies that there's a specific din only on the yom harishon. But then it says, usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivat yamim. Understand? If lakachtem lechem biyom harishon, then how is it v'simachtem shivat yamim? Then it lists, after lakachtem biyom harishon, it lists all four meaning. The pre-Eitz Hadar, which is the Esreg, as we'll see, the kapot tamarim, so that's the leaves, the branches of the tamar tree, the anaf Eitz Avot, and from there, we learn that it has to be thick, and therefore it covers up its entire branch, and that's the Hadas, and Arvei Nachal. And then it says, V'samachtem lifnei Hashem Elokechem shivat yamim. So from there we learn that there are actually two separate halachas. There's a din of V'yom HaRishon, in which everybody, wherever they are, has to take these four minim. And then there's a special mitzvah, lifnei Hashem Elokechem, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash. That in the Beis HaMikdash, or defined, depends what you mean, lifnei Hashem Elokechem, the Mikdash, maybe Yerushalayim, as we'll talk about this as we go. And there, there's actually Shivas Yomim. Now, after the Churban, remember that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made many takonas that were zecher to the Beis HaMikdash. So one of the things that he was mitaken is that even though you're not in the Mikdash, nonetheless, you should keep these arba minim as if you are in the Mikdash. But Rabbanan, there's a mitzvah of taking the arba minim all over, even not in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we'll see that not on all issues did the Chachomim give the Chumrah that would be on the first day. So it could be that the extension in terms of the Zechira is not as Chomur as the actual Halach. So first of all, from the Pasuk, we see these two dinim. But we also, when we're Medayik in the Pasuk, we can see special issues. So for instance, Lekachtem. So the Gemara learns out lekachtem means lekicha tama. So it has to be a complete lekicha. So that means if you're missing any of them, then you're not going to be yotze. It has to be tama. Furthermore, it means if there's something that is chaser from the min itself, so let's say you bit into your esrog, so then you don't have a tama. You don't have lekicha tama. So because of that, it would be possible. Lekachtem lachem. As we already saw, lachem means it has to belong to you. So from there we learn out the gozel is possible and even the shoal is possible, as we spoke about. And then we also learn out from the interrelationship of the four as the hekesh, that when it says pre-Eitz Hadar, which in terms of the specific halacha of the fruit that it's referring to as an identification of the particular fruit, which is the esrog, as we'll see on various levels, it's also telling us that all of the minim have to be beautiful. So in other words, whatever it is that will make them unpleasant and not as beautiful as they should be, those things make it not kosher. And from there, we're going to go through what type of things are considered to be a lack of beauty. Fine. But in any event, let us begin, because these are very, very complex halachas, as of course you know from your the shailas that come up during Sukkot. And let's start with the lulav. So the lulav hagazul. So first of all, if the lulav is stolen, so then it's a pegam in lakachtem lachem. It's not yours. Or if it's dry, it's yavesh, it's posel. And why is it posel if it's dry? So we have over here a rather shocking Rashi, which turns out to be a tremendous key to understanding the entire sugya in a very beautiful way. Tosfos, who doesn't accept the Rashi, ends up with a lot of problems. Rashi says, because it says, ze keli ve'anveu. Ve'anveu means, I will make him beautiful. Now, on the surface, this is a shocking Rashi, because the Gemara actually has to learn out that this is a din from the pre-Eitz Hadar, namely that there's a din of Hadar, not Hidur Mitzvah, that's a different issue. But Hadar itself, by the way, you'll notice that there are, in fact, many, many parallels between Hanukkah and Sukkot. For many reasons, we've spoken about at length, but one of those parallels is the stress on Hadar. So that we have the Mahadrim and the Mahadrim. There are specific issues of Zekele Vianveil. Rashi, for some reason, seems to confuse the element of Zekele Vianveil with a specific halacha of Hadar, and that's terrible, because Zekele Vianveil is only a lechatchila. It doesn't define the chefza of the mitzvah. So if you would take a lulav, if you're telling me that the yaveshut of the lulav is only because of Zekele Vianveil, then bidi avada would be kosher. Masha inkein, if the pas, the psul, is from a psul in the definition of Hadar, so then it's a psul that is a diaraita. So how does Rashi loosely throw around Zekele Vianveil? Now we're going to see in the Gemara that the psul of Hadar, as opposed to some of the other psulim, such as Gozel, does not apply. The psul of Hadar applies to all of the 7 days, even the drabonins, and the other does not. Tosfos can't understand this. Why is it that we say that? Where do we get it from? It's all in one pasuk. Ulkachtem lachem biyom rishon priyetz hadar. So if the lachem is biyom rishon, why isn't the hadar yom rishon? So Rashi's approach is that where we're talking about a inyan that applies to all mitzvahs, namely, all mitzvahs need to be hadar. Because of another reason, simply because of anveil, they need to be pretty. So because of that, when Chazal were koveya for all of the 7 days, which inyanim will passel, over there it makes sense to say that the same way that there's always a lechatchila of hidur, a mitzvah, then it makes absolute sense to say that there should be a din of hadar in the mitzvah. So therefore the dinim of hadar would apply across all 7 days. Masha inkein, Tosis, who says, how can Rashi confuse over here Hadar with Kelev Vanveil, which is only Lechatrila? Tosis has no explanation. He has to stretch it for why we have that differentiation. So it could be that since the Mishnah over here begins without telling us any difference between the Migdash or between the Medina or between the first day or the second day, therefore Rashi wanted to indicate why it is that this is a universal. And then later, he talks about Hadar. If the lulav comes from an Asherah tree, or it comes from an Ir Hanidachat, it's possible. Now the Gemara is going to tell us about a fascinating psul that applies to cases where something needs to be burned. And that is called Kitute Michtat Shiure, that where something is defined as needing a particular shiur in order to be kosher, the very fact that it is scheduled for destruction means that it has no shiur, because we see the shiur as being itself belittled and lessened. Ketute michtat means it's been rubbed away. So because of that, it cannot have the chashivas of a shiur, and therefore it's possible. We'll get to this in the Gemara. If it's niktam rosho, so if the top of the lulav, now what the top of the lulav is, that is a major machlokas. I mean, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the tip of the top leaf? Are we talking about the tip of the spine? Are we talking about all of the leaves, the tip of all of the leaves? That would mean most of the leaves. All of these are things we're going to have to look into at great length. Big machlokas rishonim on all of these questions. What exactly is the rosh of the lulav? But, well, whatever it means, it would also be a psul in Hadar. Nifritzu alav, posel. Or if it's nifritzu alav, Rashi learns that nifritzu alav means that literally you tore the leaves off of the spine and then you refasten them as if you were making a broom, which that was the standard way. Whereas Tosfos understands, no, they're still connected. The question over here is whether they've been torn down towards the bottom. Nifritu alav, which means that you separated. Remember that the palm branch is unique in that each one of those branches, which becomes the leaves of the palm, is built in such a way that it is a tiumet. It's doubled over, and then as it opens, it spreads out into two parts, right? So there, if you separated it, and why would you do that? Well, the general way that they used to use brooms, Rashi actually used the Spanish word ashkuba, which is the modern Spanish for a broom. So if you separated these, then you have, of course, much thinner leaves, and they're much better for a broom. And it's a natural broom. You separate the leaves, you bring them over towards the bottom, and you've got the top of the lulav, so to speak, as your handle of the broom, and the bottom of the lulav, which is really the top of the lulav when it's growing, as your broom. So therefore, it's very, very similar to what you would do in turning a palm branch into a broom. So over here, you pulled apart the various... That's how Tosfos understands the Nifra Du'alav. Rashi understands that the Nifra Du'alav would mean that they're still connected to the spine, but they have now spread out in two directions. So they look more like branches rather than the lulav itself, which is more like a sword. It's a solid piece. So if they started spreading, as long as they still have not hardened, and you could still pull them back by tying them up close to the spine again, so then it would be kosher. But says Rabbi Yudah, but you do need to tie them back up, yagdenu milamala, because the lulav is supposed to look like a kapat, not like a kapot, as we're going to darshan later on, and therefore it's more like a spear, a lulav. So that's be ogud milamala. Tzinei har habarzel, which we're going to explain in the Gemara, means they're more like sharp, sticky thorns than they are like real leaves. Because the normal lulav, the leaves run all the way up along the spine, and they all sit on one another. Over here, they're short and sharp. They still are shaped like a lulav, but they don't run up along the entire spine. That's also kosher. Lulav sheyesh lo shlosha tfachim kedei lenanea bo kasher. And the shear of a lulav is three tfachim. The Gemara ends up explaining the Mishnah to mean that if the spine of the lulav has three tfachim, which is the same as the size, the length of the aravot and of the hadasim, plus kedei lenanea, means it has another tefach that sticks out beyond them. It's a machlokas if that means another tefach of shidra, or if it means another tefach of leaves. But whatever it is, it has to be able to move easily and not be held in place by the hadasim and aroves. So besach hakol, it needs four tefachim, where the hadasim and aroves need three, and the lulav sticks out beyond them. That's the minimum shear for lulav, and then it would be kosher. Now, says the Gemara, this is very strange, because kaposik v'toni loshna b'yom tov rishon and v'lotam b'yom tov sheni. Why do you say that all of these psulim apply during all 7 days? So now again, most of the rishonim understand this to mean not in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a reference to the takona of Rabbi Yochanan and Ben Zakkai that nowadays, midrabbanan, we keep the lulav all 7 days, right? We daven with our lulav and we shake our lulav all 7 days. So therefore, it's mashman the Gemara. The Gemara says mashman the Mishnah that for all 7 days, even the Rabbanan is posel. So I understand if that's the case, bishlama yovesh. I understand why if it's dried out, it isn't a lulav because it needs to be hadar. And this would be Rashi's understanding that the Rabbanan would have been koveya hadar as a psul because it's a kelivyanveyu. But gozel? Why gozel? After all, doesn't it say beferish in the pasuk? I understand. Yom Tov Rishon, yes. Dichtiv lachem. Lukaktem lachem. Lachem means lachem. And that is misha lachem. But why would it be pasul even if there's no psul of lachem? Be Yom Tov Sheni. The other days of Yom Tov is what is meant. Amilo, what would be wrong if you would be using a stolen lulav? I mean, a borrowed lulav is okay. So, obviously, we don't understand the lachem to be literally you. The first day, you can't use a borrowed lulav. It would have to be given to you as a gift. So, why is it that the stolen lulav is possible, even though the lachem doesn't apply? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. This is because it's a mitzvah haba'a ba'avera. And we'll get into the details of that tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem. And this concludes the beginnings that we've made into the next parak.